When it gets really bad, you get back crack. That's just more of a general condition.
That's the worst, when you can actually like feel it running down. The condensation just running down your lower middle back. You're like, I'm not getting out of this car. I'll just sit here in the AC like a dog. In here for how many hours, and you gotta wait till now to tune it.
Mm-hmm. No, I turned on the air conditioning and it changed okay, the barometric pressure.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not gonna. You're right. That that's affects. That's the worst. Is going in, when going into when we play like in the South, because you'd be out traveling all day. You would take your guitars and go from like 1,000 degrees into all of a sudden this air conditioned cooled bar, and everything in the first two songs would just be mayhem because all the guitars. Would wow. Because they'd be in cold air conditioning in the car, then they'd go sit from the hot to the hot sun for a couple minutes, then back right. into air conditioning. And
my brother-in-law is a great guitar player, lives in Austin, and San Antonio, rather. And he, when he'd come and visit when I was younger, when at my folks' place for the holidays or whatever, he'd come and bring his guitar. And he would bring it, when it was 20 below outside, he'd bring it in and wouldn't touch it. Would just like lean it up against the wall for several hours yeah. to let it out. I'm like, so are you going to play? He goes, not for a while. I can't even take it out of the case for yeah. a while. Because the wood could crack.
When we would fly, you're supposed to detune everything.
Right.
Because the pressure and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a Stradivarius.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
I thought you were gonna go high. Did you?
I don't. Little. All
right. That's a Stradivarius. High? That's a Stradivarius. This. My voice is a Stradivarius.
It's a golden harp.
Dude, my larynx is my instrument. I went for a friend of mine is a great musician, and he's now become he was on the road for a decade with a well-known band as their multi-instrumentalist. It's Carell who did the theme
right.
for the show.
Oh yeah,
and he's a voice coach now. And he's come off the road and he does that full time, and he's really great at it. He is starting to ramp up his clients with all of that, and go completely from any touring work to being at home. And so he said, "Hey, would you like to come in for a voice lesson? Not that you need it." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
He begged you to please come in for a voice lesson.
Well, he said, "Would you come in?"
Please, I'm telling you,
dude.
As a friend, can you come in for a voice lesson?
It's an intervention.
Exactly. And so he goes, "You could do it, and then you could maybe review me and let me know how I'm doing and so forth. It'd be good for me and maybe you get something out of it." Then he calls back and says, "Hey, I work with this other guy who's kind of a mentor of mine, and this is a guy who's coached everybody from Michael Jackson to Justin Bieber." He's like, "I'm going in with him, and he's going to kind of critique my work, give me some feedback. Would you like to go in for this guy?" And I'm like, "So, okay." And then they added, "Bring your guitar and sing an original song." I'm like,
an original too. Like, okay.
Something I haven't done in, a decade.
Right.
And so I go in there and,
went from a lesson became an audition.
Yeah,
real
exactly.
Quick.
So you sit him down and it's, "When the people yeah. that
and you screwed up the last chord.
Hey, this is a beer episode. Ad hoc beer episode.
There you go.
Found a six pack of shitty Sapporo in the fridge in there.
Hey, it's cold.
This is for in honor of Maeda last night.
Yes.
Oh my God. Here's to you, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This is the first Sapporo I've ever had.
Is it really?
It's just delicious.
It's not bad.
No.
It's like a Japanese Miller.
Yeah. I prefer this over Miller. There's like a little bit of sweetness to it. Don't you think?
It's, and I think that's why these are great with sushi. There's a There's not much of a bite to it. It's a, like a, right. you know, a straight lager. So, first things first, recent events. We're talking on Saturday afternoon. Did you watch the game? Did you stay up for it?
Absolutely. Every pitch.
Isn't it great?
I didn't watch one second of it.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know what? God. I am glad I didn't, because I know I would have started watching it, and then it would have turned into a chore. I would have been like,
oh, it was a chore.
I can't turn this thing off, because I know I'm going to turn it off and something great's going to happen. And right. I'm like, I just spent 5 hours watching basically.
It was an absolute chore, but I know someone at the game.
Yeah.
They're a Boston fan. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Are you having fun yet?
And didn't they stop selling beer in the seventh inning?
They stopped selling beer 4 hours ago?
Yeah. I'd been like,
so the top of the ninth, they score a run, though. Boston scores a run, and you think it's over.
Yeah.
And then LA rallies. I mean, that was really.
Same thing in the 13th.
Great, yeah, right? It was pretty exciting. It was pretty exciting. And then, yeah, you thought Muncy had it. Oh, you thought he had it in what, the 16th inning or whatever it was?
Yeah.
It was a yard foul. I mean, it was a clear walk-off
home run. But that double play, too, at the plate. The play.
Yeah.
Was unbelievable.
Yeah, Edinger, that was astounding. Yeah. He catches the ball, and it's pop fly, and it's pretty far out there. He catches it. The third base coach, we were talking about this. Boston, they should have known he had a cannon. You know, they should have known that he'd be able to. But he takes one step and flings it to home base, and it's exactly where it needs to be, 7 feet to the right of the plate. A guy catches it, comes down, tags him, it's done.
When I see plays like that, a throw from the track,
just on a rope,
and it's a rope, and the catcher is basically standing there, and he's holding his glove, and he doesn't move it, and it nails him right in the glove, and he just reaches out and tags the guy.
Yeah.
Is one of the most impressive feats in sports.
It is.
It rarely happens, and I understand why they send guys, because it's so hard to do. It's like, think about it. Like, a guy's like almost 300 feet away, and even if you're slow, that ball's going to get there ahead of time. It's got to be in a 3 foot window. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. You know, they practice that 30 times a practice.
But still,
it's
still
amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, what's the football equivalent of that? Throwing into double coverage.
The football equivalent of that is, I'll tell you right now, the football equivalent is the Ben Roethlisberger pass to Santonio Holmes in Super Bowl 43.
How did I know it was going to come back to
because you watch that play, that was like double coverage, and it was like right off the fingertips, and he still gave him enough room to get his toes down and catch the ball.
Guys putting the ball exactly where the receiver can catch it and nobody else.
That's crazy.
I was up last night, so we have, in conjunction with our fantasy football league, there's a text thread where
which league are we talking about?
My league.
Okay.
Yeah. Where we, it's all sorts of off-color stuff, not suitable for work sorts of things. And so this is hallowed territory. But I think I'm okay in sharing a couple of things that people are talking about functioning this morning after watching that game last night. It's because we're all up. We were up last night. We were texting until 12:30 in the morning. Like, did you see that? And, oh, my God. And talking about Mary Hart and whatever she was doing in the background, which was great. So anyway, they're talking about being there this morning. One of my friends says, I'm at a 5-year-old birthday party now, and 70% of the parents are dragging ass after that game. Another one says, LOL, I'm at a barbecue full of kids, too. And he's in Florida, right? So he was up until 3:30 in the morning. He says, I'm barely functioning. Everyone else is fine. They didn't care about the game and slept. Dicks. Whatever. And then this is my favorite one. My buddy Thor says, my party was at a my gym, and the girl running the party was 20-something hot and had crazy porn voice. All the exhausted dads were too tired to hold it together and were just staring at her slack jaw. I should have taken a picture.
porn voice.
I need to ask if it's okay to share that.
I can hear that voice.
I tweeted something about how, because Jason Garrett was at the game. And I said,
head coach for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I said, this game is lasting so long. I said, I looked over at Jason Garrett, but then I realized I was looking at Larry King.
Thought the boyish Jason Garrett looked about 100 years old. That's how I felt.
Was something. So that now the Dodgers are back within striking distance.
Yeah, even it up at home tonight.
I mean the bullpen's ravaged for the Red Sox.
I was asking last night. So what happens if you use up all the pitchers?
Well, here's what I was thinking.
Then what, the outfielders start throwing?
And they got this. They got that weird like playoff the designation where they can't have the full roster that they usually have during the regular season. So a lot of those teams will cut their fifth starter, so you only got four starters, and they'll put that and they'll like add some middle relief and maybe lose some bench players. But if one of those teams happened to keep their fifth starter, that would be like a perfect tonight would be a perfect situation for middle relief.
Yeah. Hey, thanks.
That was a great breakdown. I totally didn't even know. That just came
back to the Major League Baseball podcast.
I was like, wow, what am I? My mouth was gone. My brain was working. I'm like, what's happening here? I don't even know.
That was
welcome. That one's on the house.
Well done.
That's neat because, I mean, it's kind of the opposite for us. Your mouth is working. Our brains are shutting down.
I was distracted by the sound of everyone turning the podcast off. Wow. So, what you guys? You want to talk? You want to talk hip? You want to talk shed? First,
shed.
Well,
what we mean? What do you mean? Your hip?
Yes.
All right, let's talk to you.
If you want to do shed first, should we go and have a look at the progress of the shed?
Let's talk about your hip. Let me finish my beer. I'm not quite buzzing there for shed talk yet.
Getting hip replacement.
When?
Wow.
If my cardiologist signs off on it anyway.
Is that the thing where are they going to put the metal ball in there and everything?
Kind
of. The trailer hitch?
I'm getting a new hitch. Right. Hitching my giddy up. Exactly. So December 19th is the date, tentatively. And it's instead. Okay, so. Picture in your mind, if you're listening, you know, the femur, the top of the leg bone, it ends like a number 7. You know, it goes up, and then it has a arm that goes over with the ball on it, and that ball fits into your hip joint, right? So that's the ball and socket of your hip joint. Well, usually what they do is they saw it off below the
vertical part of the
vertical
7.
Part where it goes over. So it's just, you know, instead of a 7, it's a 1.
Right.
Right. And then they stick a steel spire down in there, inside the bone, and it has the ball that goes over, and it you know, reapproximates your ball joint. Well. And there are some things involved with that, like, you know, they have to measure pretty well, or you're going to end up with a leg that's, you know, half inch long.
Is it possible you can end up like an inch shorter?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I know somebody that just did it, and they're like one, you know, leg.
All their
half
jeans
inch
don't
different.
Fit, they're all pissed.
It's got to re-hem all this.
Just one.
And just he's walking circles.
Yeah.
You're just constantly walking in right-hand turns.
Never gets anywhere.
where's my manners? Sam Farmer.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back. Sam Farmer back in the house. We're going
to
talk about your travails and travels.
We were so excited.
Travails, travels?
Both.
Yeah. And Josh Fligger is here as well, and I'm Andy Chan. This is different. This guy, this is the Doctor to the Stars.
Ooh.
And he is going to do something called the Birmingham Hip Resurfacing.
Resurfacing.
Mm-hmm. And what they do here is they keep that ball, the whole number 7, you know, the femur, and they just kind of sand it down, and they put a dome, you know, like this, you know, it's like a spherical
cap.
Yeah, exactly. And then that, they'll clean out all of the cartilage and everything that was left in the hip socket and put a receiver cup there.
Oh.
And so you have just steel on steel going into that. And with this, he's like, you're 50. You just turned 50.
No more field goals for you.
Well, no. He said, I can't do this stuff for somebody who's 70.
Right.
I just, you know, they need more. There's just not enough to work with. But you're young enough and you're in good enough shape that I can do this for you. And if we do this, it's more work for me, but there are no limitations. I've done this with people who snowboard.
He's going to do them both. Mm.
They're all like, wow. No, I could run a marathon if, you know, if I did it. Doc, after I do this, will I be able to play piano? Well, yeah, I should think so. That's fantastic. Why? Because I never could play piano. So I'll be able to snowboard after this. Yeah, it'll be great. Exactly. So, yeah, so it's apparently going to happen.
And I heard it's a very small incision and everything.
This one's going to be bigger, I think, because they aren't going in through the front. Maybe it's smaller, but they're going in through the side.
It's got to be big because they're going to lop off a big piece of bone.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They're not going to lop off that big piece of bone.
Oh, they're just putting the coat on that. Okay.
They're going to put a cap over top of it.
So you're not getting a trailer hitch.
I'm not getting a new bathtub. I'm just getting the bathtub I've got resurfaced. Right. Yeah. A new cap on my trailer hitch.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed because I was hoping you'd get a new trailer hitch so you can get some truck nuts in your.
Oh, I've got some truck nuts. So that's gonna. And apparently, like they do it outpatient. Like, you know, I'll go under, but I'll go in and have it done in the morning, and they get you up and you walk that afternoon.
They don't want you. They don't want any of that muscle.
That afternoon, you're walking, mm-hmm. and that's pretty crazy.
I wonder if it's like Tommy John. Where when you're done,
you're gonna
have like mega hip, and just be kicking footballs like 70 yards.
I had back surgery, and it's the same kind of thing. I mean, I was in 3 days in the hospital, but they had me up, standing, walking around.
You had what for your
back surgery
for the back?
Yeah, like that's L5 crazy. S1.
Yeah,
and I was 27.
Oh wow!
Old. Yeah, it was really bad, but the hip. Things great. Now, how long do they say? Will it last forever? I mean, because I know hip replacements typically don't last forever.
I think it's a 30-year thing.
Okay.
You know, that's what the regular ones last. I'm hoping anyway. And I'll probably eventually have to have the other one done, but that hip isn't anywhere near as bad as this one is.
So maybe that's just the step towards a regular hip replacement. If they needed to do that.
Yeah, now they can still do that.
Yeah,
they can still go ahead and lop the thing off and do more. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I got my fingers crossed for it and we'll see how that goes. And so I'm going to get hip for Christmas.
Very nice.
And you'll be able to be moving around Christmas time, like in 2 weeks?
Well, I'm doing it on the 19th.
Like, are you going to be in a wheelchair or are you going to be in crutches?
No, I'm sure it'll be crutches or a Zimmer frame.
Do you need one? You may get some tennis balls? one of those things? I'll come over and I'll hook it up for you.
Thanks, man.
Look out for my buddies.
I appreciate it.
I'll be in No, I won't. I was going to say, I had my months mixed up.
You going to go on vacation or are you going
to
see the football game?
No, I'm going to Mexico City to see a great game, which is Rams Chiefs.
Oh,
but that's November 19th.
That's going to be great.
November 19th.
Yeah, that's just a couple weeks.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That's going to be nice.
It's by far the best game they've ever had on Ford
soil. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I didn't even think
they've never had, in fact, there's never been a London game with pitting two winning teams.
Except the Eagles and who played? The
Jaguars.
They were both winning at the time, and then they both lost the week before and put them into losing records.
This last week. Yeah, this last week was Chargers and Titans, and that was the Chargers have a winning record. But now this week in London, it's Eagles and Jaguars, and I think they thought that was going to be the marquee. Yes. Now they're 2-3-4 teams, and
right.
And they're both.
That'll still be a good game.
It'll be a good game.
It's those London games, man. I don't know. I don't know if I dig those or not. I like the fact that it's on at 6:30 in the morning, but you know, neither of the teams are the way they are because it's not an easy thing to do to travel at 12 hours and play a football game. And it's like anything can happen. And then you think, is this really fair to the teams? When if there's one clearly superior team going into that game, and that could be their home game, and their body's all off, the time's all off, the sleep's all off, and then all of a sudden it ends up being a really close game. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's weird. I have the same, give and take with it. It's like on one hand, there's 14 hours of football on a Sunday.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
Great. But on the other hand, and I used to feel kind of a, I don't know, a pride in the fact that, hey, those limeys are gonna have a look at our sport, and you know, right. And and see what they think of it, and see if they're impressed by it. But no, I don't give a shit.
I always feel like
that.
I'm watching two teams play on like with hangovers. You know what I mean? Like it's the New Year's Day game. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, it's like everybody's like it's a half step off. It's just I don't know. I don't feel like I watch quality football sometimes.
It's interesting because the fans over there, the ones who are really into it, and there are not a ton of them. In fact, last time I was over there for a London game, the TV numbers were less than that of the darts championship.
The darts
championship got better TV numbers. But the fans over there are football geeks. I mean, those guys are really discerning. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, NFL Europe didn't last and didn't really take. It's because people became so discerning, they didn't want a second-rate product. Right. They weren't going to be fooled by minor league football.
I love looking at the fans in those games. And if it's like the Jets versus the Dolphins, and then there'll be like a guy wearing a Jacksonville jersey and a ball.
Oh, yeah.
Like every jersey United in the world's Nations there. And it's like, you would never see that in the United States. You wouldn't go to a Steeler game and then see somebody wearing a Chiefs jersey for some reason.
But it's right next to each other. It's like a Rams jersey, a 49ers jersey, a Seahawks jersey, and a Cardinals jersey all sitting in one.
That's funny. I remember I told you when I went to Brisbane and I wanted to get some you know rugby and Australian rules football gear jerseys. I go and I ask the concierge and I said, do you know where I'd find a football jersey? He goes, oh, you mean a footy jumper? Yes, I suppose I mean a footy jumper. And so he directs me to Modell's for the Brisbane set, and I go in and I pick out one. I pick out the Sydney South Sydney Rabbitohs, the rugby team that Russell Crowe owns.
Oh, okay.
And I pick out Geelong Cats Australian Rules football jersey, and I bring them back, and he goes, what did you come back with then? And I go and I for some reason he was British in Brisbane. Dickensian British. And, hello, Governor. What kind of footy jumper? Crikey. And so I show him, and he's like, oh, congratulations, you got the worst teams in the league. It's just that, you know, that shove it up your ass kind of snarky, dry sense of humor. But yeah, it's fun to have that stuff, but it's interesting to imagine going to a game like that where it's just NFL wear, not.
Oh, yeah.
They look like they all stepped out of the NFL shop.
I had a friend, he was a friend of the band. We used to go over to England and play all the time, and he would always come see us. He was a big Denver Broncos fan and ended up moving to Denver and getting a job as like a tour guide through Mile High Stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And,
wow.
And I think he actually came over here on a soccer scholarship to teach other kids how to play soccer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As a teacher. And then he just loved Denver so much that somehow he got a job at Mile High Stadium. And that's what he did for, like, years. I don't know what he's doing now, but I always thought that was crazy. I'm like, how does that happen?
My years ago, my relative of mine, my brother's brother-in-law, brought me this beautiful soccer jersey, and it was really cool. And so he's from England. And I asked him if he had one, if he'd wear this to soccer practice. He said, no, that's probably like wearing that to soccer practice. It would be like going to your company softball practice wearing full Yankee pinstripes head to toe. He said, no, you'd look like a dork wearing that, but for you, it's fine.
I have an announcement.
I know. This is really important. I can't tell you how excited I am right now.
This is so important. Do you know what I think I have to do?
Get everybody's attention?
I think I have to.
You know what this is? This is a yard official fence special report.
Do I have your attention?
You do now.
Yes.
Do I have your attention?
Absolutely.
We have a new, incredibly important component
yes.
to this podcast. We have a telephone line where listeners can leave any message they want.
Anything.
Which may or may not be used on this program and may or may not be ridiculed.
Skewed toward the May.
May. And we, oh God, we need to record the outgoing thing.
Oh well, now that we explained it, at least we could. So there's no. Well,
yeah, but we got to do it in case somebody calls it.
Well, nobody's listening live right now, so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, that's right. Jesus. Woo.
Okay.
Good beer support.
So, so yeah, we got it. We got it. You want to officially give out the number?
The YAF line number is, and I did this through like Google Phone or something, uh-huh. So it was perfect. Free. Yeah. So they give you your choice, and you have to pick a local number, right? So and there were no 310 numbers available, no 213. And so I thought, oh, you know what I'll do is I'll pick a number. They had Pasadena numbers available. So that's 626, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Area code. So I thought, well, perfect, because with the 2 being the lowest number, I'm going to pick a number where there are no zeros and there are no ones. That way it could spell something out.
It'll be
out.
An anagram or
It could
something.
Possibly spell something out, yeah. So the number is 626-657-6428. And I'll repeat it again. Get your phone ready. Get ready to add a new contact in your contact list and have it all ready under YAF, YAF. Line, and I'm going to repeat the number in just a second, so you'll have a second to get your phone ready, but I found out it does spell something out. 626-657-6428 spells out O, the letter O, yeah. O, anal, PM, as in evening, hat. O, anal, PM, hat. So that's an easy way to remember it, I think. Don't you think?
It's a tribute to your ass hat.
Oh, anal ass hat.
My evening ass hat.
Yeah. Oh, anal PM
just remember,
hat.
Yeah. I remember at night, Andy is an ass hat.
That's what you remember, because you go, oh, anal PM ass hat.
So get your pens and paper ready, or put it into your phone directly so you have this, because I know you're going to want to have it. 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428. Gentlemen, congratulations. We've launched the YAF line.
Call us with anything.
Anything.
Questions you want to ask us.
Any hour,
things you want
really.
To talk about. Yeah, call anytime you want.
I don't care.
Doesn't have to be in the O-anal PM. Be in the O-anal AM. I don't care.
Show topics, questions on previous topics, additional thoughts.
Comments, yeah.
Yeah, you're listening to the podcast, and you hear someone bring up a story about... we're talking about Burt Reynolds, and you were Burt Reynolds' personal assistant in 1988. Then call up and tell the story.
We're wrong and you know it, don't call.
Well, that's good. That's good.
And don't worry about the length. Don't worry about the length of these stories. You can go on and on. There is a delete key.
That's something that Sam's heard a lot in his life. Don't worry about the length.
All right.
So there you go. The YAF line is up.
Big news.
And functioning.
I feel like we're a little bit more legit now.
I think so, too.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. The other benchmark that we've established a month ago, Facebag.
Yes.
Where it's mailbag entries on Facebook. Did you have something?
I do, but I'm going to save mine to the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Because it pertains to the song.
Oh, okay,
so,
great.
So you tell me when we're ready for the song.
That's fine. Well, did you guys want to...
Can I ask a quick question about the phone line? Now, is that going to be a part of Facebag now? Or is that phone bag? Or is it... do we include it in Facebag?
I would think...
Or do we just go to messages? I say we do a different segment. Because that way...
segment?
Yeah, that way we can just bump out all the messages at the same time.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have to feel our way.
Yeah.
And it could be... you know, people leave messages for different reasons, as you exhorted them to do. You know, maybe they have a correction we need to lead off with, yep. or maybe they have something, you know, for later on in the show. So yeah. we're going to have to play it by ear.
All right, calm down. All right, so Facebag.
I don't have any more face. I should have looked for more face bag. I thought you had the face
bag. No, I told you I had one face bag, but it's going to be to the end of the show.
Well, now you said that, but I brought it up.
I told you before.
You told me before it was going to be at the end of the show?
Didn't I? I don't know.
I don't think you did.
I don't really care.
Should I look quickly? Artificial.
Did you watch The Great Pumpkin yet?
No. Not this year. They show it in like September.
I watched it this morning, and Charlie Brown just gets shit on in that show. I mean, seriously. I was watching it with Owen, and I'm just sitting there drinking my coffee, and I'm watching this, and it was like, okay, right off the bat, Lucy pulls the ball from him kicking. We all knew that was going to happen. He's just a dumbass for letting it happen. But then, he's all excited because he gets an invitation to the party, right? And Lucy's like, no, you, what's she called? Blockhead. There must have been two lists. There's one do not invite and one on invite. And you must have got on the wrong list. And he's just like, oh, shit. Hey, no wonder. Surprise, this kid's not an active shooter. Seriously. And then they go, trick or treat, right?
And he has the really shitty ghost costume that has like nine holes on it.
Which is whatever. I mean, that's better than Pigpen. He's like
a Swiss cheese
so
ghost.
They all get candy and everything. Even Lucy gets two portions of candy because she's like, can I have some more candy for my blockhead brother who's sitting out in a pumpkin patch? And they give her like two portions of candy. And then they give Charlie Brown a rock.
Right,
but not once, three times.
Right.
That would happen to me. There'd be three houses with shattered front windows. Like, give me a rock, and it's just like, why? What did I ever do to you? How do you know I'm the blockhead? So then they go to the party. They go to the party, right? And Lucy's like, Charlie Brown, we need you to model for us. And he's like, all flattered, like, all right, awesome. So they sit him down, then they turn him around, and they use the big ball back of his dome to make a jack-o'-lantern template. Like, this kid, I mean, how old is Charlie Brown? Like,
saying he suffers from alopecia?
I'm like, geez, oh man, you guys just crapped all over this kid. No one, how does he even talk to you people?
He doesn't now.
Seriously.
I can tell you that firsthand. Okay.
That's my rant. That's all I wanted to say.
Lucy's got anger issues.
Oh, she's a turd.
Pigpen has hygiene problems.
Here's another thing about the Great Pumpkin. So, in the beginning, when they're establishing what the Great Pumpkin, you know, they're telling the story of why the Great Pumpkin's coming, Linus is sitting in his house at his table writing a letter to the Great Pumpkin. Lucy comes walking in and makes fun of him. Fine, that's his sister. Then, what's the Charlie Brown's little sister's name?
Charlotte?
No, there's no Charlotte.
There's no Charlotte?
No, the little blonde girl that likes Linus.
Susie,
whatever. Hey, the blonde girl. She comes bebopping in, and she's like, what is going on? And he's like, I'm ready to turn on. Then Snoopy comes bebopping in, and then this other girl with red hair comes walking in. I'm like, who the hell are you people? Why are you just everybody in Linus's house? It's like the neighbor's dog just came in and made fun of me while I'm at my kitchen table writing a letter. Like, screw you. Get out. Right?
This really troubled you.
I was disturbed. And then Owen asked, is there really a Great Pumpkin? And I'm like, I don't know. No.
Well, I told you about, I think we did because, we started this last October. I think we were talking about the, Halloween decorations and so forth. There's a street where we used to live, where you go down, and this one guy had a Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, that's where we used to live by each other.
Yeah, right. So we go by that, and he would have this great Scooby-Doo Halloween thing.
They were like cutouts, but they were big life-size.
Big, like, wooden.
And I'm really convinced that maybe he was like an artist or
maybe
something.
Maybe so.
Because they were so good.
He must have moved because they're not up this year. Well, but down the street, there's a guy who has decorations up, and he has this Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
It's the Peanuts gang and so forth. And he does that for Halloween. And then he has a different one for it's Christmas Charlie Brown. Laura was walking, you know, with Silas around the neighborhood one time years ago. And And the guy, she goes, I like your decorations. He's like, he was like just putting things up. He's like, oh, you should hold on. Wait until you see my peanuts. And for a second, she's like, what did he say? Oh, peanuts. Peanuts.
It's just funny. I was just reading an article the other day, and I got to start doing it. It was about, it was like the 15 ways to F with people and just kind of be like a jerk and like they won't really realize it. And one of them was, this guy writes in and said, at the end of every conversation, I end by saying dick hair. But your brain is trained to think that he's saying take care. So he goes, all right, dick hair. And everybody just kind of looks at him and they walk away. I thought that was genius. Sorry, I'll see you later, dick hair. He said, like, some, they'll give him, like, double takes. I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Well, I'll talk to you, Phallus, later. well, do... oh, there were a couple of quick things here the last episode.
Bunch of topics.
Let me see. From the last episode, Karen Miller, or Corinne Miller, says it was a very shitty episode.
Yeah.
And Paul Petty says, looking good. Thank you, Paul. And our old buddy David Headwall says, I'd love to see a picture of that cutter. He likes the, I guess, the shear scissors that I have for, for the siding. Yeah. By the way, I realized after the fact that I was using halfway through the second wall that I was using the shears a little bit incorrectly.
Hot, why?
Well, if you have like the bottom of the top shear, if that makes any sense, exactly level with the siding, the plank that you're cutting, it shears it off like smooth and flat. If you have any, you know, you're 5 degrees up or whatever, it kind of makes it ragged.
Okay, I see what you're talking.
So you have to be.
You were doing it right. You just weren't angling it.
I just had the right angle. Right. Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't see how that would work any other way than what you were doing.
And after I learned that, I'm like, oh my god, so this is easy.
You rest that blade against the.
It's like this.
Let it cut
like
up
this,
to it.
It's like this flat thing that has, it's like a fork, and then there's like a kind of a scissory thing.
Yeah, it has a reticulating blade in the middle of it, and it just kind of chews it. This is a cement fiberboard. So if I would cut it with a diamond blade, the silica, you know, would be toxic.
I think it would chip too. I think doing that
maybe
way, because the impact.
Well, it might even cut it more you know, smoothly. But the dust that would put up would be tremendously toxic to me and you know, my family. So with the shears, it just kind of mauls it, you know, goes through, and it's like a curl up of, you know, like, you know, like when you use a plane on wood, there's like one of those in the middle that just, it takes it out in one smooth piece.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You'll get to see it in a little while, maybe.
Are you done with it?
No, now I've got a side, the front and the other side of the thing.
I wonder if you put it on eBay yet. I was curious if you can get what you're going to get for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably should.
About keeping it.
It's kind of
cool.
That'd
be a great finger breaker. Because that's what it is, just like putting
your
finger in there.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, that's too much.
All right, good
times. Before we finish up, did you want to see the shed?
Yes, Andy, we want to see
the
shed.
You know what? I don't think you do.
No, I've already seen it. I want Sam to see it.
I want to see it.
I've bathed in its splendor.
I think I've made progress since you've been here that you'll be slightly impressed with.
All right. Just slightly?
Yeah.
All right, so then I don't have to make a big ordeal like, oh, wow. I can just be like, that's all
right. Right.
Okay, good.
All right, well, let's hold, please. All right, we're outside, walking.
I'll let you get
around the.
I just want to see Sam's look of awe.
Yeah, feel free to say ooh and awe.
Okay.
When you get around here and see it, got a little bit of progress since the last time. In seconds until it comes into view, I'm just going to be quiet.
Wow, that's awesome. That nice. Is great.
Huh? What do you think? You didn't see the I just closed.
Oh,
the
you
door
got the door on.
And plywood, you don't see the studs, so you get the wall inside, too.
You need help putting that knob on there?
Beautiful.
Are you still talking about the shed?
I got some serious knob experience.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you look like you do.
That's really nice.
Huh?
That is very sweet.
Can you describe the moment, Sam, where it's no longer just a heuristic concept? You can actually, it's come to life.
No, it has. It's the physical existence of it, and it's much more spacious than
what's it smell
my
like?
First apartment.
Did you ever hang a door?
No,
Josh.
Nope.
It's a real bitch.
I know. That's why I'm impressed. I've
no,
I did this by this myself yesterday. Nobody else here.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. You even got this thing down. What's that called?
It's called a threshold.
Okay.
Will you build a little step for that?
Oh, I was thinking about a ramp. Maybe a little concrete thing out here. You don't know.
Yeah.
I could.
You could. You know what? The shed's yours. The whole world's yours. You can do whatever you want. I would just build a whole.
Swing out though.
No.
Why?
Okay. No. It's like a regular. This way, it's waterproofed. There's the weatherproofing around there.
You know, I think I think he did want the door to swing out and then just realized.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you very much.
Hey, wait until he's all done. He took a step back.
Massive design flaw.
Where were you when I was working my butt off?
He took one step back and just went, son of a bitch.
Thanks. Thanks one hell of a lot. Let's go back inside.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It looks good.
Hey, thanks.
I think what? So you just got to put the walls on and then the roof
and some knobbing. Yeah. No. Yeah. I got to put the walls on and I kind of built it. You know, like I said before, I didn't want to overbuild it.
Right.
And so the siding I'm going to put on, and then it's still not. Structurally, I have it braced on the inside because it's still not structurally as strong as it should be. What gives it the strength is the plywood on the inside.
Right.
And it just seemed ridiculous to do siding on top of plywood and then insulation and then plywood and so forth for a shed. You know, when nobody's going to be living in there. It's
what are we going to do?
40 square feet.
What are we going to do when you get the roof on? There's no more shed to talk about.
Well, here's the thing. That's going to be probably March or April.
Why is that?
Because this is taking a while.
You just got the roof. You're in the home stretch. You can see the goal line. Yeah, I think.
Gee, you're a sunny guy.
Thanks.
I appreciate that.
So what are you going to have in there besides the tools?
Well, look behind you. You see all those tubs, those Rubbermaid tubs? Right? Shit like that. You know, like old tax forms
shovel.
All that stuff. Just put everything in there where I don't have it, you know, cluttering up my life. Because we don't have any storage here. There's no extra room. You know, there's Laura, me, and two kids, and there's just no extra rooms in the house. And out here in my office, I've got... you know, limited amount of space in the laundry room. We've got you know Christmas tree stuff and all that stuff, you know, piled up, and there's no place to put it all.
Yep.
And I need to build in some cabinets in my shop area, you know, to hide tools and all that kind of stuff. But that's for another day. But there was just too much shit. And and that shed, there had been a shed there, but it was full of a lawnmower and
black widows.
Yeah, black widows, mostly crickets.
Yeah.
And so this is just a much better use of the space, and it's going to be 40?
What do we need?
320 cubic feet.
You know what we need to talk about though? Need to talk about what when are we having like
a shed warming party?
Yeah, a shed warming party, or are we going to christen it too? I think we get a bottle of Milwaukee's Best. Just smash right on the shed. It's officially, it's good. Good to go.
I'm all about it. Yeah, I think we should absolutely we should christen the thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, we'll think about it.
All right.
It's your shed. You tell me. I'll tell you what. I will get you what you want to christen with as long as it's under $50.
Do you think we should have hors d'oeuvres with shed spread?
Nice.
Remember that shit?
No. Yeah. Shed spread?
Was that margarine or something?
Shed spread.
S-H-E-D-D, shed spread?
Never heard of it.
Aaron will put a picture of it up. if anybody can find it, he will. Don't remember shed spread?
Uh-uh. Maybe it's a regional thing. I've never even heard of that.
It's something I get when it gets when my butt crack gets...
God.
So you had one more thing you wanted to... quickly, before you get to that, anything you wanted to share about your road travels, Sam?
Let's see. I have been bouncing all over. I had one crazy trip. I went to Denver and then flew back to L.A., played in a golf tournament in L.A. on the west side.
You did? Who'd you play with?
I played terribly, but I played with a couple, three great guys from Bristol Farms.
I love that place.
One, Pat Posey, is a friend of
Posey.
Mine. Pat is the, you remember Pat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to bring stuff out to the sound all the time.
Yeah. So, right, Pat Posey is the vice president of non-perishables.
Yeah, and he, you know, 1 year for Thanksgiving, he's like, hey, you know, what do you, is there anything you need? And I'm like, well, he's you know, we kind of do a vegetarian thing at home. Hey. He goes, well, I tell you what, go by and pick out anything you want, any, you know, sides or all that kind of stuff.
I don't know if you guys want to give him a call. There's a shed warming coming. If you want to put a table out there, you might be able to drop a few Bristol Farms hints here and there. Just saying. Oh, yeah. I'd be able to get a sponsor. Absolutely. Get a shed sponsor. We'll pay big Bristol Farms sign. Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm hip.
So, Pat Posey and Steve Howard, who is the vice president of perishables. So, it was non-perishables and perishables. And Adam Caldicott, who is the CEO. And we all played. We were a foursome, CEO of Bristol Farms. And great guy and a great golfer. And so I played in that. Then we had a dinner afterward. Nice. And then I went back to LAX, took a red eye to New York, middle seat, red eye. Couldn't sleep a wink.
Oh, God.
And then we had NFL
shoulder
meetings.
Breaker. You're just sitting like this with your shoulders forward the whole time.
Oh, it was awful. NFL meetings for a couple days in
New York.
That's
inhumane.
Yeah. Came back and I was home for a day, then I spoke at the Pasadena Quarterbacks Club, and then the next day I went to, the next day was my daughter's homecoming dance, as that Saturday, and then Sunday morning I got up early and went to San Francisco for the 49ers Rams game.
All right.
Wow.
So it was a lot of
whirlwind.
It was whirlwind. Never really got to unpack. You know, I had multiple bags in the car that I would just grab and go with, and but that's exciting. You know, it's an exciting time of the year. Fun time of the NFL season, and the Rams are undefeated, the only undefeated team in the league.
Incredible.
As of this recording. They play the Packers tomorrow, and it's just really fun. It's great. You know, I didn't expect them to be undefeated at this point.
Yeah.
How many suit jackets do you pack when you go on a trip like that?
Usually I'll pack a suit, and I'll just wear that suit twice, just change the shirt, and then I'll bring a sports coat as well. Sometimes.
Have you ever gotten into a situation where, like, you're on some long road trip, right? And, like, first night of the road trip, you're out on dinner and somebody dumps mousse on your jacket or something like that.
Yeah.
And you got, like, two more dinners coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, it's usually me dumping the mousse on myself. But
do you order your food knowing that it's day one of the trip? You're like, I want solids only, nothing with any sauces on it.
I'll tell you this. I used to do the Jim Hill show, Channel 2, and I would sit around in jeans and a golf shirt to watch the Thursday night game, and then late in the third quarter, I'd go into the bathroom and I'd change into my suit for the post-game show. And one time I get in there and I open the shirt and take it out, put it on, and realize that I'm wearing the shirt of my 150-pound son, 5 foot 11. And I just...
Is it just painted on?
No, it's not even... I couldn't even come close to closing it. I mean, to buttoning it. And I'm getting a knock on the door. Sam, 5 minutes to air. So I had to put a golf shirt back on and a sports coat over the golf... This, you know, stupid looking.
I hope like the golf shirt was like red with like blue, like just.
Oh, it looked horrible. It looked horrible. Oh.
Next time something like that happens,
it's such a dork.
Will you text us so we can enjoy it in the moment?
I will. Yeah.
That's great.
It was really funny. Just the sheer panic of unpacking this shirt and thinking, this doesn't look large enough for me.
That's right. Amazing.
Oh, are you ready?
Probably.
And he's pulling out the guitar. So, all right. So I asked you guys what candy bar was your favorite candy.
Oh, right.
Oh.
So I stopped and I got
What a sweet guy.
Scores Andy, which
Scores.
Is which
Scores.
Is which is an
Scores.
Old people candy bar.
This is it?
Yeah, that's
because it's toffee.
Oh, yeah. Rolos.
A whole pack of Rolos.
Sweet. You can roll a Rolo and to your yes. pal.
And I got myself a Reese's Nutrageous.
Is that your favorite?
Yes,
Nutrageous?
Right now.
Oh,
as of
what
today.
A nice thing.
But
thank you, Josh.
What? Here's the
can
thing
I open
is,
it?
Yeah, go ahead, open them up. You might want to start getting a couple of those out. Okay. So, David A. writes us, hey, hold on, the Oops. Email's pulling up. You and Andy are the biggest shed talkers I've ever heard. Also, a fun suggestion for Halloween. Sing the intro song with a mouthful of your favorite candy, or is Dracula or something. So I was like, you know what? It's this. It's tis the season to steal your kids' Christmas or Halloween candy, so I figured let's just all take a big bite of our favorite okay. candy and then go right into the song.
Oh, oh, yeah. Great. Right.
You can on, roll a roll beer, friend.
I'm throwing a whole berry one.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to whole berry. Roll.
Well, big black banana. I'm trying to make a turn into a red podcast. And I love the slow thing.
That's disgusting. Delicious.
So
all at once.
Hi, everybody. Hey, wait. Sam, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Give the phone number, too.
I'll give my cell phone. It's 819-579-9901.
Yeah, fine. One last time. 626-657-6428 or oanalpmhat.
And you can email me at joshua.fligger@att.net. No. Don't do that one. joshuajflinger@gmail.com.
Oh, I'm drunk on candy.